Today is the last Sunday of Lent. Now, I know it's not really, next Sunday is, but for me, it's the last Sunday of Lent because next Sunday is a cantata, and this will be the last chance I'll get to address you this way and to challenge you with, well, I remember a minister telling me one time that the good news of the gospel is neither good nor news. Now, we'll let that roll over you for a second, because first of all, it's not news. It's been around for 2,000 years. So if you haven't gotten the word about Jesus by now, you just haven't been paying attention. So it's not news, but it's also not really good either. Because what is the essential message of the gospel but that you are called to give up yourself? That you can no longer live for yourself, by yourself. All of those things that the world holds that are so valuable, being the individual and taking care of yourself, the gospel says, nope. The gospel says, you will die for me. You will live, you will die for me. When Peter talks to Jesus and rebukes Jesus because Jesus has given him the bad news that the Son of Man is going to be taken before the chief priests, and Peter can't take that. He says, no, Lord, that's not the good news. There's nothing good about that. And yet the reality, of course, it's the greatest news. And so today is my final opportunity in the year 2023 to give you a Lenten message about the cost of being a disciple. I saw a cartoon about this, though, and maybe you would like to join this church. It was a church building that had a big ad in front of it with all this, and they said, we are the Light Church, L-I-T-E, not L-I-G-H-T, L-I-T-E Church. We have 24% fewer commitments, home of the 7.5% tithe, 15-minute sermons, 45-minute services. We only have 8 commandments, your choice. We have an 800-year millennium, everything you've wanted in church, and less. Yeah. Far too many people have that kind of relationship with the Lord. So let me throw out 3 words which define many people's relationship with God: casual, convenient, and comfortable. I mean, the word casual means occasional. It's coming at certain times without regularity, showing little interest, little concern, kind of nonchalant about your relationship with the Lord. Not close, not intimate. So that's casual, but how about convenient? Being suitable to one's comfort, purposes, or needs, the faith of many is driven by convenience and fails when it is challenged to do anything that is considered true discipleship. Oh, and comfortable. Oh, this we know about, don't we? Yeah, comfortable. We want to meet in air-conditioned rooms when it's hot outside. We want to have heat in here when it's cold. We want to have our coffee, and we want it black, and we want it real. I mean, we have our own sense of comfortable, don't we? And God forbid if we ever should be made to feel uncomfortable, asked to do something that we don't want to do. There's nothing casual, convenient, or comfortable about discipleship. In the original Greek, it says, keep on denying yourself. Keep on taking up your cross. Keep on following me. This is not a decision of the moment, but a direction for your lifetime. It's not really very appealing, is it? Oh, I like some of the other preachers when they tell me what it is that I will get by coming here. George, you're kind of messing this one up. But Jesus gives us the motive which will move us in this direction. Quote, for whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it. There's a beautiful poem. It's not terribly long, and I've never actually read the whole thing in worship, but I'm going to today. It's Robert Frost, Two Roads Diverged in the Wood. Do you know this one? Good. Well, then just sit back and close your eyes because it's a beautiful, beautiful set of words. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I could not travel both. And be one traveler long, I stood and looked down as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, and then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as far that the passing there had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden back, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how may leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere, ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. The less traveled road can be the more difficult road, but at the same time, it can be the most wondrous road. The less traveled road can be filled with wonder, as only a few have seen that what lies in its path. The less traveled road can be filled with excitement, and the unexpected can lie around every bend. So Jesus is talking about taking this less traveled road in our gospel lesson. He begins teaching the disciples about what's going to happen in his ministry. He tells the disciples that the Son of Man, Jesus himself, must suffer many things, be rejected by all the religious rulers, and die, and then rise on the third day. This was the less traveled road of the cross, the less traveled road of suffering, of dying, the less traveled road of the theology of the cross. This is the less traveled road of dying for the sake of Jesus Christ. There is a denial in your faith that you must embrace. Self-denial is the bedrock of discipleship. When Jesus speaks of self-denial, he's not merely speaking of denying some pleasure or some comforts like so many people do during Lent. You know, I want to give up so-and-so, which, you know, you shouldn't have been doing in the first place. So, not a big sacrifice. It goes much deeper than that. Jesus is telling us that we can no longer be the center of our lives. That's hard, isn't it? He's never concerned about what we do so much as what we are. He's not talking about giving up luxuries or even necessities, but about denying yourself, which is entirely different. Denying self means that we renounce our right to ourselves, our right to run our own lives. We are to deny that we own ourselves. We do not have the final right to decide what we are going to do or where we are going to go. When it's stated in these words, it's really kind of outrageous, isn't it? It strikes right at the heart of our very existence. The one thing that we value, covet, and protect above all else is the right to make decisions for ourselves. We refuse to be under anything or anybody, but reserve the right to make the final decisions of our lives. Remember what Paul said? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're no longer going to own yourself. Self-denial is to follow Christ no matter what cost is involved. Martin Luther said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Let that roll over you for a moment. Great story of a mom who was making pancakes for her boys. The boys were arguing over who would get the first pancake, because everybody knows that's the best one, right? Yeah, let's all just agree. And the mom saw the opportunity for a great moral lesson. She said, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. But I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, we want everybody else to deny themselves, but Christ is calling us to a life of self-denial. Self-denial is not easy. We all have things we want. We all have goals, but Christ is clear that when we choose to follow him, we must deny ourselves. That means you can't always do what you want to do, what your natural tendency is to do. This means that you will face tough, life-changing decisions that need to be made in the shadow of the cross and not the desires of your heart. This doesn't mean that you'll be deprived of joy and happiness, though. I mean, don't go down that road. Rather, it means that you will find fulfillment and joy and happiness through your dedication to Jesus Christ. Self-denial is placing yourself in the hands of God at all times, no matter where his hands may lead you. There is a sense of death that you must experience when you take up the cross. When Jesus said, take up your cross, the cross wasn't a beloved symbol like it is today. It was big and it was ugly and it was heavy. It was a crude device of torture that conveyed a message of shame and suffering and death. But what does it really mean to bear a cross? I mean, let's consider what bearing your cross is not. When facing difficult circumstances, people often will say, well, I guess that's just my cross to bear, right? Well, when people speak about bearing a cross in this way, they're talking about circumstances and situations that, given the choice, they wouldn't choose. I don't say that this is to make light of unfortunate and tragic situations that we find ourselves in, but it's not bearing a cross. When we suffer from sickness and disease and discouragement, bad neighbors, horrible in-laws, it's a horrible misfortune. But it's not bearing a cross. Bearing a cross is a choice. It is a voluntary form of sacrificial obedience that identifies us completely with Jesus. Bearing our cross is something we deliberately take up and bear. We don't usually like that. For many, we'd rather just wear a cross than bear a cross. And so committed followers are cross bearers. Casual followers see an easier way. Committed followers dare to discipline themselves. Casual followers are looking for spiritual growth shortcuts. Committed followers seek holiness. Casual followers seek happiness. Committed followers seek to worship the Lord of the beauty of holiness. Casual followers seek an emotional lift. Committed followers seek to please God in all that they do. Casual followers live as close to the edge as they can. Committed followers seek to make it to heaven. Casual followers seek an escape from hell. Committed followers say, "What ministry can I find to help?" Casual followers ask, "What's in it for me?" See, there's a direction you must pursue. Gandhi was once asked by a friend, "If you admire Christ so much, why don't you become a Christian?" And he replied, "If I meet a Christian who is a follower of Christ, I may consider it." Yeah, damning words for sure. Many have become quite happy calling themselves Christian with little or no thought of really following Christ. Because as followers, we are to replicate His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His truth, the purity of our leader. For followers, it is a relationship, an adventure, and a passionate pursuit of Christ. We were created to follow, and Christ calls us to follow Him, not some creed or ritual or custom, but follow Him wherever He leads us. And following Christ is a relationship that drives and defines all that we are and do. It would be so dull and boring if it were nothing but rules to keep and duties to maintain. Like marriage, we don't find joy in the institution of marriage. What would motivate you to or me to change diapers, help clean up, ensure crowded aisles and endure them in grocery stores, and be faithful? Well, what it is, of course, a relationship, not rules. If your Christianity feels dull and boring, if it's a burden and not a blessing, then most likely you're involved in a project, not a person. A system, not a Savior, rather than a Savior that rules, rather than a relationship. In closing, I just want to ask you a question. You're probably asking yourself, why? I mean, why should I do all of this? Death, denial, and direction aren't exactly words that motivate us, are they? And I'll answer your question in one brief sentence: because He did it for you. Because He did it for you. Jesus denied His own rights. He died an agonizing death on the cross. And the direction that He followed was His Father's direction, His Father's will. Jesus is the model for our self-denial. Peter, God bless him, had it all wrong. Many in today's churches have a mistaken idea of what it means to be in Christ. It means letting go of self and living for Christ. Living for Christ and in Christ does not necessarily mean that everything in your life is going to go great, that it will be all glorious. But what happens if your life is not glorious? What happens if you don't succeed in some way that would have make us believe in the way of the gospel. Well, it leads to guilt, to thinking that, well, maybe my faith is not just as good as others. Do we measure faith by success? I hope not. I think not. Faith is not measured by us or for us. Faith is a gift from God to be used. And our standing in life, whether we have health, wealth, and prosperity, is not a measure of our faith. Faith is living by the cross and in the cross and through the cross that leads to the resurrection that gives your life and my life meaning and purpose. So which road will you choose in the path of life? The road that Peter wanted or the road that Jesus taught in today's gospel lesson? Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Make all the difference. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so in love with our comfort. We think that we've got it all figured out, but the reality is we don't. And for some of us, that makes us very uncomfortable. And as we come to this conclusion of the season of Lent, just the last days of introspection, now it is time for the hard part. The part that says we need to look inside and make changes that are in accordance with your will and your grace. And for that, we thank you. And while it is difficult, and while it is the road less traveled, it is our road. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you on that road. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.